The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We don't care how you're taking us in. We just appreciate that you are. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer in the hizzy. How you doing, man? Day after July 4th, a weird pocket Friday morning.
Happy 5th of July. Yeah. It never gets enough love, you know? Been saying that for years.
Yeah. How do you think it went down, 5th of July, 1776? You think people were just recovering from the excitement?
Yeah. Good question. Probably the same thing as nowadays. Everybody's just recovering the hangovers and everything. Yeah.
Did you enjoy fireworks last night? Were you watching fireworks?
I think I watched 4 minutes of fireworks before I fell asleep.
Yeah, I heard 4 minutes and then I was out also.
Is that a, like, I don't want to say that's us being, like, old, miserable men, but, like, it's just, like, we got to be up early, man. It doesn't get dark out here till like, 10 o'clock now.
It's a school night, as they say.
It's a school night.
School night for us.
I don't know about you. We haven't had this discussion on air yet. It's probably a terrible way to lead the show, but I know in the winter we complain often about how dark it is out here, but I'm getting a little tired of driving up, being blinded by sun in the morning, and then I'm like, I got to go to bed now. Oh wait, the sun's still up outside.
First world problems. Yeah. Yes. On the show today, a lot of soccer. Paul Carr will join us. Chris Felica, Copa America, in the quarters, as is Euros 2024 as of this morning. So we got to get into that with both Paul and Chris. Everything else, Chris is betting. Jason Weingart with all his bets as well. And we'll look at some NFL stuff. We've had a good time sort of going through NFL prop bets that are available at DraftKings. Kelly was good to find those first to five bets earlier this week. Today we'll do division exactas, which I'm going to warn you in advance, Kelly. I'm going to ruin a future segment by extending the division 1-2 exactas.
Okay.
Just going to point that out. You're going to be like, I was going to do that next week.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
I know, but it's coming. First things first, Wimbledon this morning. Kelly, I am in one of these runs where I cannot win a tiebreaker to save my life.
Ugh.
It is brutal. Today again in the 0-3 on tiebreakers across three matches. And you know what usually happens after you lose a tiebreaker? You collapse because the mental anguish of it for these players. So I'm just in a brutal, brutal run of this. Trying to get Daria Kasatkina home against Bedosa. She lost a tiebreaker in the first set. On serve in the second. We have futures on Kasatkina. We'll get to the Wimbledon futures. So far been great. Those are coming up later on the show. The only thing I have left, and I'm warning you, if we get in a tiebreaker, we're going to lose it. Just how it's going right now. I have Denis Shapovalov, but I gave it out at VSiN.com/picks last night, as we do every host, every guest, every sport on the network. For subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. The only one I have left is Denis Shapovalov, but I got him at plus 115 yesterday, and now he's the slight favorite. So I don't know that I would play it anymore because I would not have played it, quite frankly, at that price.
Yeah, see, minus 105 at DraftKings.
That's about the best price you'll see on him right now. Minus 105 is like borderline teetering maybe against Ben Shelton.
I get to bet against Ben Shelton, though. I might join you with this one.
Denis Shapovalov, who had a great run at Wimbledon a few years back, almost took down Joker, like had a really good match against Djokovic. Not almost took down, but was super competitive. And maybe the peak of his career at this point, a career that was so much promise was there, it really hasn't panned out for him. But he's one of these players that on any given day, and Ben Shelton keeps playing these long five setters, and he is. If you do not like Ben Shelton, you hate Ben Shelton.
He's so easy to hate.
Kelly is one of those guys. He's
so easy to hate.
But
you put it well. If you have any reason to dislike him at all, it is very easy to.
Yeah.
I'm sure it works the other way, too, though. If you love him, if you love the way he acts and everything, then you probably love the guy.
He still thinks he's playing college tennis at Florida.
Right.
So that's the problem.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Djokovic did the telephone thing after the previous match, he did that to somebody?
No.
When Djokovic beat him, he mocked him with a phone closed.
No, I don't know that. Then what did I catch yesterday? There was like Taylor Fritz like trash talk or something?
Taylor Fritz was playing Arthur Rinderknecht. It's not often you get tennis trash talk.
I was like, who's talking trash? Arthur Rinderknecht? What was his name?
I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's spelled Rinderknecht, but it's Rinderknecht probably. So after the French Open, I think they played in the French Open, and Taylor Fritz was got a little upset about the French crowd being so supportive of Rinderknecht, which, by the way, you know, you probably should expect that to happen, right?
Yes, exactly.
Like, he's French, and you're playing at the French Open. So the problem was that Rinderknecht then went public with it. He said, well, you know, what about your upcoming match with Taylor Fritz here at Wimbledon? He goes, well, he won't be as whiny as he was back then. So Taylor Fritz, of course, caught wind of those comments. And then when Fritz won, he immediately went up to the net, stared him in the face, and goes, have a nice flight home. And Rinderknecht followed with, I'm not taking a flight home. I have a doubles match. To which Taylor Fritz goes, oh, that's great. Congratulations. So that's tennis trash talk. And then
that's exactly how I would expect tennis trash talk to work. Someone thinks they got a great line, and it's like, oh, wait, never mind. All right, so I'll see you in the locker room. Okay, cool.
The best was after he goes, oh, I still have a doubles match. He goes, oh, congratulations on that. But in the post-match presser, Fritz said, he goes, yeah, as soon as I caught wind of those comments, I go, he's losing. Like, there's no chance he's beating me now. Not that he was going to win anyway. But, yeah, so that's tennis trash talk. Anyway, so Shapovalov is the only play later today. As Kasatkina and Badosa are in a dog fight. I mean, this is a fight at Wimbledon. I have Kasatkina to get to the finals at 22-1, and I have her in a final with Swiatek at 100-1. So we'll see.
Yeah,
on serve.
Oh, Shapovalov. That starts in like 15 minutes.
Yes,
I got to get my
bet in. In tennis time, it starts in 15 minutes. We'll see. Buddy Hield, I mentioned this earlier in the week, does end up with the Warriors. It'll sign and trade.
Yep.
What do you think?
Yeah, something that had been kind of rumored here for the past week or so. I think it's interesting, Gil, because I know there's a lot of people out there, probably, you know, if you're a Warriors fan or something, saying, hey, this is really how we're replacing Klay Thompson. Like, I understand it, but it's the financial limitations that all these teams are dealing with is so severe now with this second apron stuff that I think the Golden State Warriors have done a pretty good job.
Pretty good.
Like, cobbling together the pieces that they could. And the biggest thing is, okay, look, you're going to roll into the season. Yes, you're going to have Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson and DeAnthony Melton. And the big thing is, like, are those going to work out for the team? Maybe. Maybe not, right, Gil? But all three of those guys are going to be really attractive trade pieces come the trade deadline. So what they paid to get those guys this summer, they might easily get back equal or more come the trade deadline if the Warriors are kind of out of it. All three of those guys will be actively sought after by contending teams.
That's an interesting take on it.
I mean, they are all three of those guys would be considered great. I would consider them good to great role players on championship-level teams. So if the Warriors aren't there, I think they're going to have – I think that's part of the reason why they did it specifically with those three guys is you're going to be able to have the financial – flexibility then to move them and be able to kind of rebuild, refocus next summer.
Last night, I go to the Aria Sportsbook. watching the Royals play. The Royals are our July bet. Royals lose to the Rays 10-8. Pitching. Both teams were just awful last night. Royals lose the series 2-1 to start the month of July. No panic. It's early. It's July 5th, for God's sakes. I had them going 2-1 in that series, so we're a game behind the projection. But anyway, I'm watching that, and simultaneous with that, Argentina is playing Ecuador in the first of the Copa America quarterfinals. And this inspired a list of mine, the top three people you hate at a sportsbook. Because
okay, like this.
This is just, I don't know what it is. This is inspired by my number two choice, which honestly probably might get to number one on my list one day, but I have to just sort of concede the traditional number one. So the number three worst person at a sportsbook. Number three worst person. By the way, Argentina won it on penalty kicks. They go straight from regulation to penalty kicks at Copa America. They don't play extra time. Ecuador tied it.
Really?
Ecuador tied it in extra time. Almost won it in extra time. Added time. Almost tied it in added time. Almost won it in added time. And then lost on penalty kicks. So number three, this has nothing to do with that. The number three position is guy at sportsbook. It's always a guy. Guy at sportsbook who wants the entire sportsbook to know all of his sports opinions. This is colloquially known as the Wishnev. Todd, I'm right here. I'm sitting right next to you. That guy over there does not have to know your WNBA opinions.
Right,
that's
yeah.
the third worst
okay,
person
I like
in the sportsbook.
This. I like this.
Number two is what inspired this list from last night. The person who has to, he or she has to let you know that they are from the city of the team they're rooting for or the country of the team they're rooting for. And it means so much to them to let you know that that is the case. For some reason, this annoys me more than anything. Because I don't know if they have a bet at all on it, but they need you to know. Like, if you're watching a, I don't know, pick a game, a Houston Rockets game, that they are from the soil of Houston, Texas, to let you know that they're part of this team. No, you're not. You're not part of the team. You're just someone from Houston, and you just happen to live there. So the Argentine contingent last night, I was sitting next to a lady from Ecuador, and at one point, you know, there was a VAR on the Ecuador tying goal, and she was like, "I falta?" And I'm like, "No, I falta. Goal," right? So it's like the only exchange we had, but the Argentine saw me talking to the Ecuadorian girl. Oh, that, so I was the enemy from that point forward.
Oh, boy.
So during the PKs, when they were happening, by the way, Messi missed the first one, and they still ended up winning. It's like the roller coaster of talking schmack, and we're just sitting, I'm like, dude, I could care less. I'm watching a Royals game. I'm not sure if you're familiar with what that is. So that's the number two annoying most person in the sports league. Number one still remains traditional. But I will say number two is catching up to this. Number one is the person who's betting $20, who screams louder than anybody.
Oh,
the rest
yeah.
of the sports.
So I guess the way I would describe that one, because that's on my list as well, I don't even really care how much you're betting. It's the guy who's going that crazy in the first half or whatever full game bet he has.
Yes.
And you're like, all right, can you, like, calm down?
Pace
like,
yourself.
Yeah, like, I'm actually okay with you getting excited about a bet, but, like, can it be close to cashing at least before you get that excited? I've got a couple. I got a couple others on the
list. Oh, yeah, you really? Yeah.
I have an addition to the one you had last night.
I'm just like, dude, we get it. You're from Argentina.
Yeah.
We get it. Coming back with Paul Carr. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However, you're taking us in, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander, it is Kelly Midlin in the hizzy right here at Bar Canada at the D. And let me correct myself, I was mistaken. Alcaraz did not break back on Tiafo. Tiafo wins the third set. He's up. Big T, Francis Tiafo, up 2-1, two sets to one on Carlos Alcaraz at Wimbledon. So that is a developing situation. And, of course, Daria Kasatkina, once breaking, Paula Badosa could not hold her serve. So she got broken back by Badosa. Then it was on serve. And now two break points for Kasatkina again. Women's tennis is happening.
She could not consolidate?
She could not consolidate.
That remembered it this time.
Kelly,
remembered it.
You're my guy.
It only takes you bringing up something 16 times I remember it.
Thank you very much. By the way, I won a tiebreaker in the Nakashima match. Is that allowed?
You're on fire.
Is that allowed? I'm not sure that's permitted. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Velika joins us. He is the Bear. You may know him from his Bear Bets podcast, which he does with a tons of guests, including Jeff Schwartz, Will Hill, Sammy P, and just a cast of thousands. He does it all year round, different sports. You might find him on Fox doing horse racing. He does it all. It's Chris Velika, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing all right. Enjoyed my 4th of July holiday out here in L.A. I figured if I wasn't going to be at home with family and friends, I would make the 35-minute drive up to Portillo's there from the hotel. I had myself a nice little chili dog and hot dog with mustard. Kelly, what are you doing, man? Kelly.
There we go.
Yeah, but you had a chili dog. See, that's where we're talking next level.
I had a chili dog one, and then I had dog with onions and mustard on the other one. So I can't do ketchup on hot dogs, man. That's my wife does it, but it's like, seriously, come on.
Oh yeah, I'm a ketchup. I can't do mustard. I can't stand any mustard. And don't tweet at me. Don't text me. Even honey mustard. That's the one that cracks me up the most. Apparently, that's like sweet and sour sauce. I'm supposed to like that.
This match is gonna kill me. All right, Chris, let's talk soccer. Copa America. Last night, Argentina gets by Ecuador, barely. Ecuador ties them in added time, almost won it in added time, had an amazing opportunity that did not get home. And then, despite Messi hitting the crossbar for the first penalty kick, they still win. Argentina still wins via penalty kick over Ecuador. So they advance in the Copa America quarterfinals. They're the first to advance. Any thoughts on Copa America moving forward. Obviously, Venezuela-Canada is the match tonight, trying to determine who takes on Argentina in the first semi.
Yeah, I got a couple of thoughts. I tonight, if you want to look specifically for tonight's match, I can't see many, if any, goals at all in this Canada-Venezuela match. Nil-nil, like plus 600 is very intriguing. This is a Canada side that they played 11-on-10 for a very large portion of two matches in the group stage, and they only managed to score one goal. So I think this is there are two teams here where both look at the other sideline and be like, hey, we have an opportunity here to get to the semifinal and play Argentina, who may not be as invincible as people may have thought. So I would look at draw. I would look at nil-nil. I would look at under 2.5 goals. Venezuela is a team that hasn't conceded more than one goal but once in 17 matches. So this is not going to be a high-scoring match here tonight between Venezuela and Canada. And then on the other side, I don't get it. Like, I don't see anything that's happened in this competition so far that suggests that Brazil, without Vini Jr., by the way, should be favored to advance over Uruguay. Uruguay just beat them 2-0 in World Cup qualifying. Brazil hasn't even scored in half of their last six international matches. Uruguay has been a team that has not allowed very good shot quality with some of the metrics that we have access to here covering the tournament. I like Uruguay to advance here. You can get a better – they're like minus 105 or so is the number. But Brazil has not looked good. They're weak on defense. I would take a look maybe at a shot prop with Darwin Nunez as well. Maybe three or more shots, I think, is like right around minus like 135 or so. He's definitely gonna fire tonight. So tomorrow, I should say. So I would look at Uruguay to advance and look at a Darwin Nunez shot prop there in Copa.
Nothing on Colombia, Panama.
I would probably look at Colombia halftime, full time. I think Colombia has scored a first half goal now. It's like seven straight matches. Panama's the worst team left, so they're fortunate to be here. I would look at Colombia halftime, full time.
Okay, who wins Copa America in your opinion?
I think the team that survives on the right hand side of the bracket, whether Uruguay or Colombia, I think ultimately will win. I've seen enough from Argentina squandering their chances and leaving teams and matches to think that when they face a really good team here, it ultimately will come back and get them. So I know it's a half-hearted answer, but I do think the survivor amongst Uruguay and Colombia, I think that will be the team that wins.
Okay, not a believer in Argentina taking it down.
No.
Okay.
I'm not.
All right. Colombia, Panama, and Uruguay, Brazil tomorrow. Venezuela, Canada tonight. Then there is Euros 2024. And this is where it gets really serious. And these matches today are just absolutely...
I love it. I'm so excited.
Oh, these are just... You couldn't hope for better matchups today. Spain-Germany right after the show today, so about 54 minutes away. And then Portugal-France a little later on. Let's talk about each. What about the first one, Spain-Germany?
I did not play anything in this match just because while I think Spain are the best team in the tournament, you do have a little bit of concern that home field, crowd, huge advantage might bolster Germany. And the way Julian Nagelsmann, the German coach, has been talking, like, he almost has this, like, outward confidence right now about, yeah, well, Spain, they really aren't very, very experienced. And Amal and Nico Williams, they're young. Like, I think he feels pretty good about his side heading into this match. It probably won't be a high-scoring game. Spain is another team that really do not concede. They're so good in the midfield with Rodri, and they have the youth on the outside to attack. Push comes to shove, I would say Spain advances, but I've not made a wager on this one.
Not
the second match.
Yeah. No. What about Portugal France then? You said yes.
I played France to win 1-0. I played France to win 2-0, and I played under 2.5 goals. This is a French side that it seems like every single knockout round match they play under Didier Deschamps is the same thing. And I was joking with Jules Brich and Peter Schmeichel and Daniel Sturridge the other day, like literally like 5 minutes before the own goal against Belgium. Like, man, it feels like Belgium has a goal in them right here, and Belgium are on the verge. And sure enough, it felt like that again. And France looks terrible. And then in the fifth minute or whatever it was, here's a goal hitting off of someone, or they just managed to win 1-0. And I can see that being the same case here. Portugal was very fortunate to get past Slovenia. They're a team that hasn't scored in 210 minutes since the opening match against Turkey. So, like, I think they're going to struggle against France, who probably will have a good bit of the ball. They'll try for a good bit of the ball, I should say. Portugal certainly will try to break down that defense, but their defense is so good. They're comfortable absorbing pressure. They're comfortable absorbing shots. Teo Hernandez has been fantastic. Saliba has been fantastic. So, yeah, I played 1-0 France at plus 425, 2-0 France at plus 800, and under 2.5 goals, just because I can see this France knockout round script just continuing playing out that way again.
Was it was it some tweet that we saw yesterday where they're like, oh, a lot of players we respect are taking Portugal, and you were kind of like, come on.
I get it, but yeah, the play that you want to make is you want to play a side that hasn't scored in 210 minutes against a team that's comfortable playing a defensive match. Like I don't see it. Like to win that's the thing, to win in 90 minutes, to win in regulation. That's the part of it that I can't see. Like Portugal winning in regulation would be the least likely surprise here, or the least likely result that I could they win in extra time? Could they win in kicks? Sure. But by the way, Madison Keys has just beat Marta Kostka, by the way. So one of our to reach the final, their bets is
Well, Kasatkina was up 4-2, and guess what? She's 2 points away from losing now. So
all right.
Yeah. Perfect. It's unbelievable. If it can go wrong, I can get you right to the finish line, and then it's unbelievable, this tournament. And this stretch.
I guess if Steph lost yesterday, then Badosa has to be the one half of the relationship.
She has to lose too,
right?
What about Netherlands, Turkey, or England, Switzerland tomorrow? Anything?
Yes. Switzerland to advance at plus 135. Just like Brazil, I said, there's nothing in the tournament to suggest that England, outside of the whole ridiculous, oh, it's coming home in the brand of England, to suggest that England should be favored in this match. Of the teams that made the quarterfinals, they averaged 3 shots on goal, which is the fewest of any of the 8 teams. Switzerland has gotten goals from 7 different players who all accounted for Switzerland's 7 goals. They are deep. They got a great goalkeeper on Jan Sommer. And England, they're probably going to be down Kieran Trippier in the back. They're down Mark Gahey in the back. And Luke Shaw probably still isn't available. I've heard reports that they're practicing with like 3 center backs on the back line. Maybe Saka moves to left back. Like, I just don't like the direction for England. I like Switzerland to advance. And then in the other match, Cody Gakpo, anytime goal scorer, plus 135 for the Netherlands. Turkey has the guys defended, and they look.
The audio survived till the last moments. We'll repeat that on the other side, just to clarify what Chris's last play was. We'll come back. NFL most wins for the season. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget to check out our website, vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. And I want to shout out our Major League Baseball stats as well that are in there. Got a first 5 analyzer as well. Umpires in there. Umpire over-unders. Everything you need to know about umpires in Major League Baseball. Really good tools to help with your handicapping in MLB. Tyler Shoemaker on the front page with his WNBA plays. Adam Burke with NFL betting predictions. Nigel Seeley with Euro quarterfinals thoughts. Adam Burke on NASCAR. Adam Burke doing it. And Brent Musburger with his Super Bowl prediction. Super Bowl 59. Can't believe we're at 59 already.
Did you say Adam Burke on NASCAR?
I did. I did say that.
What doesn't he do, Gil?
He does it all. Grant Park 165. NASCAR betting odds and predictions from Adam Burke at vsin.com.
Let's go.
Check it out. What doesn't he do? Who covers more sports, Felica or Burke?
Oof.
Who handicaps more sports? Felica is in double digits, literally like 10 or 11.
That's tough to beat.
It's tough to beat. Yeah.
I don't even know if Burke's got West beat. Like, West might be number one.
Oh, West might be number one. Yeah, West might be number one. Ladies and gentlemen, I promised that he would be on camera the other day. I lied. But today, no lies. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, at Spreadopedia. What's happening, man? Look at you.
Good morning. How's it going?
This is this cup. What are you drinking there, Jason?
Who are you, Drew Dinsick?
Yeah.
Coffee out of my Garfield mug.
What, you shaved. What's going on there? What happened?
Oh, it grows back quick. Don't worry. It'll be back.
Oh, no concerns here, Jason. No concerns. Yeah. Your follicles, I respect them very much. Okay. What's the deal in Major League Baseball today? What are you betting?
You believe Paul Skeens has his own betting section on a lot of these websites now, getting all sorts of his own bets every day. You can bet the velocity of Paul Skeens' first pitch today.
Wow.
This is just another example. I keep just saying it so many times this year. The ways to bet baseball have changed so much in the last couple of years. It's confusing to me sometimes. I don't even know where to start when I see, you know, a player with this many markets, and, you know, it's weird. But I'm betting against the Pirates today. Give me the Mets. I got the Mets plus 112 this morning.
Is of those markets with Skeens, is there anything you'd be willing to make a bet on?
I'd rather approach it with the game. You know, I know he's great. He really is, you know, probably one of the top 10, 15 pitchers in baseball already. He's still going to have a bad day every now and then. I'm going to bet against him when I'm getting good numbers on the other side.
Yeah. Point is, you're not one of these people who advocate betting him for Cy Young, for instance.
No, I mean, that's silly. We know he's going to max out around 130, 140 innings, and that would, there's no Cy Young at 140 innings. It's not happening. Not anytime soon.
We tossed this around yesterday about Triple Crown. You could bet Aaron Judge to win the American League Triple Crown. He's at 5-1. Folks astutely pointed out that Stephen Kwan, he did not have enough at bats to qualify for the leaderboard, but now does and will moving forward. He's in the 360, so that's the bugaboo for Aaron Judge. Shohei Ohtani 9-1. He only leads in homers right now, and in batting average, but barely in batting average. RBIs, he's somewhat far behind. Would you bet on either of those to become the 13th ever Triple Crown winner?
I'd probably pass unless I was getting a very good number. I just want to point out for the record, as good as Aaron Judge is, and I've decided I'm going to no longer sort of fight how good Aaron Judge is. I've just clearly been wrong. But Gunnar Henderson is the number one player in the American League by F-War. So when we're looking at the MVP stuff, does he really deserve to be minus 330? I don't know. I mean, I guess you could make the argument that he's Aaron Judge. But Gunnar Henderson actually kind of would maybe deserve the MVP if we were voting. I don't know.
Yeah, he's not going to this person's not going to win the MVP. But I just want to point out that I would throw Bobby Witt Jr. into this conversation. He is so unbelievably good watching him on a night to night basis. Incredible player. Obviously not going to win an MVP. Could win a batting title this year if Kwan comes back to the field. Anything else besides your fade of the Pirates today?
Let's see. I don't think so. I think today was actually kind of a surprisingly slow day. Looks like that's it so far. I have a couple notes. I have a note to look at Baltimore later in the day versus Oakland, and I have a note to look at the Padres later, but I haven't bet either of those yet.
I mentioned this earlier because someone was talking about the Braves have not won a baseball game. This is an amazing stat. And so shout out to the gentleman who tweeted this out. I want to give him credit. Let's see.
John Massey.
John Massey. Thank you, Kelly. John Massey said, Braves haven't won a game since April 17th when the opponent scored 4 runs or more. It's an incredible stat. And I mentioned that the Yankees are 6 games clear of being on the outside looking in. Just six. The Yankees, who got off to this unbelievable start in baseball, but they're 5-14 in their last 19 games. They're only six games clear of being on the outside of the playoff picture looking in. The Atlanta Braves are five games clear of being on the outside looking in. If I came to you from the future, Jason, and I said, hey, one of these two teams did not make the playoffs, which was it, the Yankees or the Braves?
Wow. Man, I guess I'd say the Yankees, but can you imagine the Yankees not making the playoffs after all we've talked about them? And wow. Again, it's so crazy how baseball's like that. Like, one week you're just ready to declare them the pennant winner, and the next week they can't win a game. They had that window where Jason Dominguez was ready to come up, and he didn't come up, and then Stanton got hurt, and Hill's regressing. It's unfortunate when that happens, but we're seeing it, you know? I mean, the window for success is so tight in baseball sometimes that you don't capitalize, and next thing you know, you lose 10 of your next 15 games or whatever the Yankees are doing. But it's still early. We still have a lot of time left this season for anybody to turn things around. I'll throw in another team. If I had to pick one you didn't mention that's not going to make the playoffs, it's going to be the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah. I think a lot of people feel that way about them.
It's not exactly coming out of left field here, but I think the Astros run them down pretty easily in the before the season's over.
Did the Rangers ever wake up?
I don't know. Have they? Like I said last time, I feel like we just totally forgot they even exist. Like, they won the World Series and we're like, yeah, well, who cares? You know, I don't even pay attention to them for the most part, other than having some Langford futures for Rookie of the Year.
If the Orioles or Yankees win the AL East, let's do this division by division. Orioles, Yankees win the AL East, and let's concede the other one gets a wild card, even if it is the Yankees. Guardians win the Central, Astros win the West. Who are the other two wild cards in the American League?
Guardians win the Central, Astros win the West. Wouldn't surprise me if we had a third team come out of the AL East. I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it could be the Red Sox. I've seen the Red Sox surprisingly, playing a little better than expected. The Twins. The Royals are not crazy to throw out there. Obviously, the Mariners would also be in consideration. But, it'd be one of the Guardians or the Twins most likely. And then Mariners, Royals, Red Sox, I guess, in that order.
I think the Royals and Red Sox, for me, are the teams to look out for. Let's do the same thing in the National League. If it is the Phillies, the Brewers, and the Dodgers that win the division, who are the other three wild cards? Who gets in the wild card? Who are the three wild cards?
Well, I never like to say anything nice about this team, but I will say the Padres are likely a playoff team. If they get a semi-healthy Fernando Tatis, he's been putting up borderline MVP numbers this season, basically playing on one leg. I'm always kind of hard on him, but he's actually playing pretty well considering how physically he's holding up. But otherwise, we're going with the Padres probably being a wild card team. Maybe the Mets. I don't know. Crazier things have happened. The Reds, the Giants, Diamondbacks, I guess. They're only the World Series, the pennant winner last year.
Point of that question is, of course, it's a free-for-all. I mean, we're approaching the All-Star break. We're already past the halfway point of the season. There has got to be a make-the-playoffs bet that's out there right now that exists at a great number. That is going to get home, and maybe it is, the Red Sox or Royals in the American League, and maybe there is a even longer shot, a sexier play in the NL, because
I got one for the NL. I'll tell you what the sexy play in the NL is right now.
I'm gonna guess it. Cubs.
No, that's not very sexy. I see like 6-1 there. The Washington Nationals, 20-1.
Okay,
that's the biggest number I see. James Wood just called up. Dylan Cruz. Still waiting in the wings. Jake Irvin, there's a guy we haven't talked about all season. He's like one of the top five pitchers in the National League. How'd that happen?
Yeah. Well, okay. We're ranking sexiness on the show in terms of Major League Baseball. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Good seeing you on TV.
Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you guys next week.
A little cup of Joe in his hand right there, Jason Weingarten. Beardless.
Looking good.
Beardless. He told me, don't worry about it. It'll grow by the end of the day. It'll be back. By 5 p.m., it should be good. We'll come back. Paul Carr finally on soccer. Let's do it next.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP Rookie of the Year and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. We got to talk about Coach of the Year at some point next week. It's an interesting market.
Monday. When Gil says things like that, I write it down.
Here's what we're going to try to have for next week also. We're going to try to have Cleve T.A. on. He's got his...
I've got so much homework to do.
Rampant football thoughts. Yeah. Right?
Between our finishing our guide and then Cleve T.A.'s guide, yes. Which is a must read too.
Got to read that.
I got a lot of homework to do.
And am I allowed to say what might happen a week from today?
It better happen. It's locked in.
Oh, it is locked in?
Yeah. And it's not a week from today. It's Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. Yes. We're talking about the same thing now.
Yeah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, on this show, the original Jardians woman is on the show. I'm not making that up. The original Jardians woman. Because we want to get to the bottom line of how did she get ousted from the Jardians commercial? First for the other girl, then for this guy now who's singing the song outside.
That's right. Deanna Colon is her name.
Deanna Colon, the original Jardians woman on the show on Wednesday.
There's an accente over the L.
Yeah, she might be related to Colon? Bartolo Colon. That's correct, the sports betting tie-in. If you're looking for a sports betting tie-in, she could be related to the great hamburger Bartolo Colon.
We won't know until we talk to her.
And we won't know until we have her on the show. And then since we have her on, we're just going to talk about Jardians. Cool? Cool.
That is scheduled for 8:15 on Wednesday.
11:15 Eastern, 8:15 Pacific. It must be July. Ladies and gentlemen, from Topeka, Kansas, he is the host of the Expected Value podcast and, of course, works at True Media Networks, where he had an egregious meeting this morning through True Media Networks. It's Paul Carr, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Paul?
Doing well, Gil. I tell you, the English have no respect for the 4th of July holiday when they schedule meetings.
So that's it. So this is it.
Get over it.
They're still sore about the whole independence thing.
That's right. Yeah, this was spiteful, I think.
Spiteful. 248 years later, like, we'll show them. We'll give them a meeting early next morning.
I love that was the answer, though. I love that. Yes. That's what ended up happening.
Wow. Spiteful people. Okay. Let's begin with, first of all, we got a tweet. And Paul, you said you wanted to say something about this. Before we get into soccer real quick, we got a tweet. This is from Limited Everywhere, who says, I did not even know who that was at first. Talking about Jason Weingarten in the last segment. Did not even know who that was at first. You said you had a story about beards now? What is this?
Yeah, so I mean, when I met my wife and got married, I had a goatee. And then 5 years into our marriage, I decided I was going to shave it.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of not telling her first.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, bad job. So I walk out of the bathroom and she just kind of yelps. And was not pleased at all.
Yelps.
I have not been clean shaven since.
And by yelps, you mean didn't write a bad review about you, just yelped.
Correct.
Right.
She would have if that were a thing. Yes. A dozen years ago,
I'd like to write a bad review about my husband. Has there ever been a dude that looked better without facial hair? I think the answer is no. I think it's a null set.
Yeah, I think once you hit some certain age, over like 60 or something, not in recent years.
It is very difficult to go from beard to no beard and it not look odd.
Bro, if you walked in here without your beard and mustache, I would yelp as well.
I'd have to quit. There's no way I could continue to be on the air.
I would write a poor Yelp review about you.
People would not be able to get over it.
All right, before we get to the Euros, which is stacked today, just absolutely stacked. Did you watch Argentina and Ecuador last night? That was pretty unbelievable.
In and out while watching fireworks as well. And South America tournaments games are just, it's kind of a different animal than Euros. It's kind of more of a street fight, I guess, for lack of a better term, than a little more polished. You know, it's not better one way or the other. It's just different. And there's so much drama and melodrama that it's hard to turn away from because stuff is always happening.
By the way, as much as this is not from a soccer guy, what's about to come, but as much as I hate penalty kicks to decide a 90-minute a 100, 120-minute time or extra time soccer match, I actually kind of dig just going right to the penalty kicks after the 90.
I feel like, look, you had your 90 minutes, you figured it out. And, I mean, the percentage of times that anything changes in extra time is pretty low.
Pretty low. Yeah.
Especially in early rounds, like, sure, just go straight to penalties. And they're the best worst thing, because there's pure drama, even though it feels wrong.
I completely agree. It's like when we decide basketball games on free throws coming. You know, that'd be the equivalent. Right. Well, let's have a free throw contest. Who wins Copa America, in your opinion?
I mean, I've been on Argentina since the beginning. They're the best team. I don't have any real reason to go otherwise. I mean, I think Uruguay and Colombia have been both really good, but they and Brazil are all on the other half of the bracket, so good luck trying to pick one of those three.
All right. Great games today in the Euros. I mean, it doesn't get better than this. You go ahead. You start wherever you want.
We'll start with the big one. I mean, if you told me this was a final, everyone would be totally happy, but we knew this was probably going to happen in the quarters. It's Spain and Germany, arguably the two best teams at the tournament so far. I have no strong feeling on a side here, and you can see from the lines, you know, it's basically dead even as far as who's going to win or advance. But I do think we're going to have goals. Both teams, they're 1-2 in the tournament in goals scored. Both have tons of attacking talent and different kinds of questions defensively. You know, I'm not sure how Spain's center backs will hold up. Germany's wings are okay, but that's where Spain's strength lies in attacking. So, and I think once we get one goal, this should just open up. So, you know, Spain scores, then Germany's on, whichever team is on the attack after having to go get a goal, the other one's just going to live in counterattack land, which they'll be very happy with. So I think we get goals in this. I like the over 2.5, which you can still get at even money.
Even money. And then you do have an opinion. You and Felica are aligned on the France-Portugal one.
France is weird. I mean, I would still take them to win the tournament if I'm just picking, ignoring spreads or lines right now. Even though they haven't scored, they haven't put the ball in the net from open play themselves. They have 3 goals, 1's a penalty, and 2 are own goals. But they have over 6 expected goals. You know, things just aren't going in for France right now. And they have the best defense in the tournament. They're giving up very few shots, the fewest expected goals. So that's what I rely on more than anything. I mean, Portugal has tons of attacking talent, but France shut down Belgium, which has good attackers as well. So I just think France will shut them down. They will find a goal one way or the other. This is kind of where their coach Didier Deschamps tend to start unleashing the attack just a little bit, you know, just enough to get a goal or two. So this is really just, I believe in France. Their defense is the best unit on the field, maybe in the tournament. So I think they win this one outright, win this in regulation at plus 140.
All right, Spain, Germany, over 2.5 goals. France plus 140, shop around for the best number, outright versus Portugal. Then tomorrow, a couple other quarters, Switzerland and England. What do you got there?
Man, this England team, I think I've said this on the show, like, they may not be any good and still get to the final.
Yeah.
You know, part of that is the bracket is breaking their way. But, I mean, you lost to Slovakia the game. They created almost nothing until the very end, when they got the goal, and then they got a quick one in extra time as well. So, like, despite all their offensive talent, they just haven't figured things out. One of their best center backs, Mark Gaye, is injured for this. He's played every minute of the tournament, so that's a problem. They talk about they may shift the lineup and the formation quite a bit. So they're still searching, even though they're the betting favorite and have gotten this far. Switzerland is basically the opposite. They've looked really good. They don't have the big name stars that England has, but everyone seems to know their role. This is kind of your classic, I don't know, mid-major type of team in college basketball, where they're a 5-6 seed, but you just watch them, you can tell they just know what they're doing, and they can execute that so perfectly. And that's what they've done the whole tournament. They've got 7 different guys who have scored for them, so they're doing it lots of different ways. So I like Switzerland to advance, getting plus money on this, plus 130. I'm trying to find the price that I got it at here. Plus 140 is still out there for Switzerland to advance. So this is, again, this, whether it's regulation, extra time, penalties, I like Switzerland here, given that price.
However they get through.
Another one where Mr. Felica and Mr. Carr match.
Yeah, matching away. Today's two matches feel like they could be finals, and tomorrow's are like sort of the undercard. With apologies to the Dutch, who take on Turkey tomorrow.
The Dutch are looking pretty good. They've kind of been growing into this tournament where they look a little bit better. Even their loss to Austria, you know, they had plenty of chances, and Austria probably just ran a little bit hot and finished everything. This play is really more about Turkey. I mean, their defense is not good. It's been the second worst of the tournament, and the only one really worse was Georgia. So they're just giving up goals everywhere. Not a lot of scoring chances they have themselves, only 6 shots in the round of 16. And the Dutch are just kind of methodical. They will get it done. They will put on the goal or two late to pad the lead, et cetera. So I like over 2.5 in this one at minus 130. So it's juiced a little bit, but again, bad defense, kind of a ruthless, or maybe not ruthless, but efficient offense, we'll call it so far, is what we're going to get here. So I lean toward the Dutch, but I played the over 2.5 at minus 130.
All right, Spain, Germany, over 2.5 goals today. France to beat Portugal. Switzerland tomorrow to advance any which way. Netherlands, Turkey, another over on the total, over 2.5, laying a little bit of juice tomorrow. Paul, enjoy all the games. Glad you got through your meeting, man.
Glad I survived. On to the fun stuff.
On to the fun stuff. Paul Carr, everybody. Kelly and I have done all we can do. Gojo and Goalie next on the radio side. Best bets on the TV side. It's Visa, the sports betting network. Enjoy.